Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. I bring you the great news that is contained in Matthew 6 and in the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. I'm taking you into the 10th verse of this chapter, and I'm saying to you this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want to share with you something that is rather oblique to most of us in our thinking. We are told that the great dream that we should have is that of being fairly comfortably well off. But you know, you can bring the government to look after all the people that don't work and all the people that don't have money and all the people that are offended because some are rich and some are poor and they are the poor and they need help. God would help them if they would cry out to him, if first they would put their trust in him and believe that he was their Savior. They could cry out because Jesus said, all you have to do is come to the place where you ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. One of the things that we have missed in the church today, we have missed looking after the poor. Now listen for a moment. Please bear with me. Jesus again said, the poor you have always with you. Now it doesn't really matter what government comes into being, and it doesn't really matter how much the government helps. It doesn't matter how many millions and millions and trillions of dollars that we give out so that people are not penniless. It doesn't really matter what we do. I don't know those of you that know your history, but Winston Churchill in just 1905 was so concerned about the position of the British poor. He said, we can build ships that can sail the seas. We have the largest navy in the world. We who can build that should be able to feed and look after our own people. Now, I would just take issue a little bit with what he said and change it slightly. And I would say to you, the church was called to love one another. The church is in being so that we can support and help one another. And because you always have the poor with you, you and I should be a group of people who are looking daily for those that we can help. Now, we have sort of a convoluted attitude about all of this. The government has taken over. Most Christians today say, well, the government's feeding that family, the government's looking after that family, they get free this and free that, free rent. We have people come out of prison, and because they've come out of prison and they want to live in a certain area, why, the government pays a large percentage of their rent, apart from the fact that they have stamps for food and other things that they need, and they can have all sorts of assistance. Unfortunately, we don't look at that assistance very carefully. We just hand it out. And then we worry because these are the very people that turn around and bite us. Let me share something else with you. It's been my experience for 60-some years now of giving and helping people, helping to re-establish those that have been unglued to society for whatever reason and in whatever way. And they have been a group of people who have been very poor and in need. I've given all sorts of money. Because I've been the pastor of churches, I've been able to give thousands of dollars away because our congregations have been very generous and we've given out all sorts of help. Yet, the more we've helped those people, the more disgruntled they've become, and the more they have been critical and made up stories which are pure lies about the church. Doesn't matter what church, yours, mine, any church that we go to and attend. Now, that's an amazing twist of psychology. You would think that people would be grateful, but they're not. Hence, we see a picture of sin. People talk about the Lord Jesus. We make films about him. We make films even of the holiness of his suffering. And we look at those things and we say, now I understand, now I know. But we really don't, because we don't turn our hearts over to him. We don't say, oh, that suffering was for me. That death was because of me. So we don't fall upon our knees and cry out, my Lord, my God, as Thomas did. We don't do that. And the most amazing thing takes place, and I say it very carefully, it's amazing because it's so awful. We are an ungrateful people. So the church has sort of drawn back. The church has said the government want to look after you. Let them look after you. And in one sense, they're right. In another sense, they're absolutely wrong. And it might well be that because the poor you have always with you, it might be that you and I are a group of people that should be asking God to give us in our churches more poor people. James says, you know, somebody comes into our church wearing ring and nice clothes, most likely in his day pulled up in a chariot with a nice pair of white or black horses, a groomsman to look after them. We say to those people, oh, sit here. This is one of the better seats of the auditorium. Come and get close to us. We have a special time for people after the service. And so these people are inflicted with graciousness that never needs to be expressed because we perceive that maybe they're rich and maybe their riches will help our church or help our cause and help us indirectly as individuals. And so we bow and fall over backwards, it seems to me, to accommodate these people. Have you ever thought and considered this, that we should be thinking of the poor? John Baptist sent to Jesus, he said, are you the Messiah? Truly, are you the Messiah? Or should we look for somebody else? Now, John was in prison because of a mad woman, a sensuous girl that danced in front of Herod. He was soon to lose his head, and he was soon to be executed, and Herod, although he said he was sad because he liked John, Herod couldn't put up with the fact that John had spoken very plainly about his relationship with his brother Philip's wife, and they were living together. Herod and Philip's wife were an item, that's what we would say today, and they were rich. And John Baptist stood up in public and said, this is a crime. It's a crime against the word of God, the teaching of the Old Testament, and it's wrong. And we need a leader that is right. We don't need leaders that are immoral. Now, if you apply that principle to the leadership of our countries today, we suddenly find ourselves hard put to get a group of people together that will lead us. But we do not have holiness on top of our list or anywhere near the top of our list. We don't have righteousness. We don't have sanctification and justification high on our lists at all. We have something else. We have our own desires, our own likes and dislikes, our own personal things. We're a group of people that have lost our way, and we need to be right with God. And I think it's time that the church says, whoops, well, Jesus said, go back to John and say to John, the blind see, the dumb speak, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and those that have evil spirits have the evil spirits cast out of them, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's a curious switch. What Jesus was saying, these are miracles that are taking place, and the last miracle that he mentions is the miracle of the gospel coming to the people that are in need. It's one thing to have your sight restored or your hearing restored or your speech restored or your crippledness taken away and so on. That's one thing. But Jesus says at the end of this little list, I want you to understand there is something else. The poor people have the gospel, the unsearchable riches of all heaven preached to them. If we could take all the poor people of our countries and glob them together and share the gospel with them, what would be the response? I don't know. There would be excuses galore. There would be somebody who would say, well, you know, my mum and dad are old and I've got to go and look after them, so I can't come to church. There would be somebody who would say, well, I've just got me some cows and I need to go and look after them. I really don't have time to come to church. There'd be somebody else who would say, you know, I've got some land and I've got to go and look at it. It's tucked away in the middle of nowhere, but I need to go and look at it so I can't come to church. And we're full of excuses. Let me take you into Matthew 6. Jesus is talking to people in a very frank way. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward, listen to this, in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and on the street corners, so that they may be seen of men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, saint, Christian, you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Now, if he knows before I ask, I have only to ask so that I may receive. You see, I believe that God will supply the need of the poor. I believe it absolutely and completely. We do not have to run to the government. We do not have to ask for all sorts of helps. We don't even have to ask the church for helps. But we do have to ask God. And if we do that in secret, we shall be observed as if we have enough money to live on. Enough income to make sure that the ends meet. It was Hudson Taylor who went to China and shocked all the religiosity of mission work in Great Britain, especially around London. And what he did was this. He said, I'm not going to tell a living soul what I need. I'm going to tell God. And God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, or I don't want them. And so he didn't tell anybody that he was asking God for 100 missionaries. And one day someone came to him and said, well, how many missionaries do you need in China? He said, I'm asking God for 100 missionaries. And people laughed Hudson Taylor to scorn. Where are you going to get the money to send 100 missionaries to China? He said, the Lord will provide. And when suddenly he was inundated with people banging on his door saying, God has called me to go to China, he kept a tally, and eventually it was 100. And God had produced 100 missionaries to go with him to China, and not one of them had a penny. And his challenge was, you have to ask the Lord for your money. You have to ask the Lord for your transportation, for your equipment and the gear that you will need to live in China. And these young men and women fell on their knees and besought the Lord. I heard this story. It's a wonderful story. It was told to me by a Mr. Jefferson, who was in China during the Japanese war between them and the Japanese in the 30s. He was a young man at that time. When I met him, he was in his 60s, late 60s. And he said, this is what happened. We were very happily ministering to these people. The Japanese came in and they took over the town. And they created a lot of atrocities. They turned his house into a lavatory in English, into a bathroom in American, where they used it to get rid of the waste of their bodies. They just went to the toilet on the floors. And then he and his wife had to clean this mess up when they left. And this happened on a daily basis. And one day, one of the missionaries came into the compound and said, God has made a revelation. I've forgotten the exact words and I've forgotten the reference, but it's in Zechariah. It said, tomorrow you shall have heaps of silver. Now, they couldn't leave China because they couldn't afford to get out of China as missionaries. They couldn't afford the tickets to the United States. Remember, shipping was by steam. The Second World War had not yet started. So they bowed in prayer and they were asking God to provide for them as a group of missionaries to be able to get out of China. And this one missionary came and said God had given him this word from Zechariah that tomorrow they would have so much silver that they could buy their way out of China and get their tickets and travel to America. And one or two of the missionaries that were in that group were a little, oh, really, attitude. And others were mystified. But this one person was very excited. God had revealed this to him. How wonderful it was. Next day, after their house had been used as a latrine, and they were just finished cleaning up, coming up the street, in the middle of the street, was an elderly man wheeling a wheelbarrow. And he came into the compound, and the wheelbarrow was full of silver coin. He had been saving the silver coin for some reason or another, and he said that God had spoken to him and told him to give this silver coin to the missionaries so that they could get back to the United States. He added, I know you will be honorable, that when I get to the United States, you will give the silver back to me. It doesn't matter whether they gave it or not. I believe they did. But this is the story that Mr. Jefferson told us. How wonderful God supplies our need. And over again he will. Not to a missionary necessarily, but to every Christian. Everyone that has taken the precious Jesus, our Savior, into their lives, as the very center of their life, as their Savior and Lord, that person can ask and receive, seek and find, knock and have the door opened to them. It's a curious thing. Rich people don't understand this piece of scripture very well at all. They have their trust in riches. If you go to the 16th verse of this 6th chapter, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in to steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think this is fantastic. In 1929, there was the fall of the stock market, and people were jumping out of windows and committing suicide in all sorts of different ways because everything was lost. I want to tell you, the richest man in the congregation has no debts. He's a rich man. If what he has is used for the glory of God, he will have more and more and more. The more we give, the more we receive. Never hold a thing that God has given as yours. Always hold it as it belongs to God. And understand what Jesus is saying. Don't store up treasures on earth. Moth and rust get through. Thieves break in and steal. Why, we don't see much thievery today, don't we? I quickly remind you that we're being stolen from on a daily basis. People are taking from us, they call it taxes, and they're taking from us daily. And daily we are being hammered with this and that and the other, and daily we are being hurt. Daily. And we need to have treasure in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven. I have a system. I invest in eternity. I call it my eternal investments. And I believe that people can easily do this because the poor are always there. There's always somebody that will spoil what you do because he will cheat, he will lie, and you will have to listen to his testimony, and only by his testimony can you possibly help him. And I've said to many, many people, you know, if you're cheating me, you're not cheating me. You may think it's me you're cheating, but it's God, because I own nothing, yet I have everything I need. God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Recently, some dear friend has given me a whole load of books, books that in the 60-plus years I've been preaching, I've wanted to own, and now at the end of my preaching, the Lord has given these books to me, and I have enjoyed reading them. I have 4 volumes on the go at the moment, and I'm having to say, okay, I'll spend a half hour in this one and then the next one and so on. I am reading and reading things that I knew, things that I didn't know, and so on. It's just incredible to me that God will bless us and bless us and bless us if you will let him. Give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's far more blessed. Don't let anything hang in your wallet. Turn your wallet empty. Turn it out. Give. the woman that gave all that she had, which was only a few coins, gave more than the richest people could possibly give, because she gave all that she had. Be able to give boisterously, or another word might be with hilarity, is the Greek word. Give eternal investments. Dear friends, our Father, my darling Daddy, who is living in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's when we feed the poor. That's when we clothe the poor. That's when we preach the gospel to the poor. And that's when we see the miracle of the wonder-working power of God released by his Holy Spirit. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, change our lives. Change the perspective of our vision so that we may not see what we can do in some sort of program or another, but let us realize that what can be done, what you can do through us, if we only obey your precious word. Bless this word now, please, Lord, to our hearts. Grow us up in Jesus, for we ask it in his precious holy name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. The Lord be with you. Bye-bye.